The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to have you here, and this is a really good day to be here. We have baptism, and it was really exciting in the first service to witness whole families getting baptized together. It doesn't get much better than that. And at the end of that service, two people gave their lives to the Lord, and they're getting baptized tonight, so it's going to be a really good day here at Crossroads Church. You know, I was driving up today, and I saw a sign on the way to church that said, "Good news." Isn't that great? And then I read a little further, and it said, "Your streets are going to be clean today." But I thought, it's still a day of good news. We're having people here that are publicly following Jesus, and we celebrate with them. And the really good news today is, he doesn't clean streets, he cleans hearts. And isn't that what we need most? I mean, we'll deal with the streets, but man, if our hearts are clean, it doesn't get better than that. Well, we're going to do some baptisms, and I'm going to introduce these people to you in a few minutes, and then we're going to pray for them, and then they'll get baptized. But I thought before we do that, it would be appropriate so that we're all together on the same page and understand the significance of what we're doing, if I could just help you understand baptism a little bit. Then we can all really enter into what's going on and celebrate together with these people that'll be baptized. And I want to take you to the baptism of Jesus, because I think that baptism is kind of a model for every baptism that follows it. And so you'll find it in Matthew chapter 3. It's on the screen. It just says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased.'" I don't know about you, but when I first read about the baptism of Jesus, I'm surprised. I'm shocked. John was baptizing people, and what John said is, if you confess your sin and repent, that means turn away from it, then you can be baptized. And Jesus said, "I'm in." And John did what you and I would do. He'd say, "Hey, wait a minute. You haven't committed any sin. Why are you being baptized?" And I thought about that for a while, and actually it's bothered me over the years, but I've come to the conclusion that what was going on there is Jesus was identifying fully with us by being baptized. You know, at the end of his life, it's well known that he ended his life on a Roman cross between two sinners, two thieves. But it's less well known that at the beginning of his life, he started his ministry in a river with sinners. From beginning to end, at every point, he identified with sinners, with us. And so he's baptized. And then you see what happens there. Jesus said, "I have to do this to fulfill all righteousness." That term righteousness, Matthew generally uses it, actually almost all the time uses it to mean right behavior or obedience. In other words, Jesus was saying, "I'm going to be obedient to the Father. He sent me to identify with sinners." Isaiah said he would be numbered with the transgressors. Ultimately, our sin would be laid on him when he went to a Roman cross. And in his baptism, you see that happening. And then he's baptized, and we read about the dove, who's the Holy Spirit, coming down from heaven and descending on him. And then a voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son who I love. Now, it's interesting because the dove, this is the only place where the Holy Spirit is symbolized as a dove. Did you know that? Only place. Why here? And what's the significance of that? Well, every Jewish person, Hebrew person, would know that a dove symbolized sacrifice for sin. They would be well aware of the book of Leviticus and the sin offerings there. You were required, if you sin, to according to your social status, how much money you had. If you had money, you would bring a lamb without defect and lay your hands on it, and that way symbolically transfer your guilt to the lamb, and the lamb would be killed for your sin. If they were poor, at the other end of the scale, they'd bring a dove, just a dove. And everybody would know that when Jesus was being baptized, that the dove was a symbol of a poor person's sacrifice for sin. I find that interesting because it seems to me that from the beginning of Jesus' ministry to the end, the shadow of the cross just hung over him. And you know, the idea of the dove being the poor person's offering reminds us that though he was fabulously wealthy, yet for your sakes and my sake, he became bankrupt, poor, that through his bankruptcy, we might become rich forever. It's amazing what happens at the baptism. But when you see the dove and when you hear the voice, I think in so many ways, the Father is saying, there's one fact I want you to know: how much we have in Jesus. How much we have in Jesus. It's as though the Father was saying, here in this man, Jesus, is everything I want to say, reveal, and do. And everything I want people to hear, see, and believe. If you want to know anything about me, the Father would say, if you want to hear anything from me, if you want to please me, listen to him. Listen to him. And I think that's wisdom for all of us today. So in that baptism of Jesus, I just want to point out to you three things that then become a model for our baptism. I think very, very important. One, I would put this, baptism is identifying with Jesus Christ. It's identifying with Jesus Christ. He identified with us in his baptism. We identify with him when we're baptized, and we do it publicly like he did. So when these people up here today are being baptized, they are publicly aligning themselves, identifying themselves with Jesus Christ. They're saying, I'm a follower of Christ. And they remember the word of God, which says, you know, repent and be baptized. So they're being obedient as Jesus was to the Father, to the words of Jesus. They're just plain old being obedient at one level just by being baptized. Because he said, repent, believe, and be baptized. To follow Jesus, this is important. To follow Jesus is a matter of simple, practical obedience in everyday life. Let me say it again. To follow Jesus is a matter of simple, practical obedience in everyday life. And so to be baptized is to follow Jesus in obedience, and it's to say, I want to do the will of God more than anything else, more than anything else. So they're identifying with him. But I think you could flip that over, and you could also say, they're desiring to build their identity now in the person of Jesus. They want to build their identity on him. You know, before we knew Jesus, we would build our identity on a whole lot of stuff, or maybe other people, other things. Maybe we said to ourselves something like this, you know, if I had that, if I could get my deepest wish, then I'd be happy. I'd be okay. And if you never get it, you're very angry, unhappy, and empty. But if you get that thing that you wish for, you ultimately feel more empty, more unhappy, and sometimes more angry. Only building your life on Jesus and finding your identity there pays off. You know, I read an article that came out of a paper, and I don't have the paper in front of me, but the article was an interesting one. This person said, and I don't know if they'd watched the Academy Awards or not, but they said, I pity celebrities. I do. Celebrities once were perfectly pleasant human beings, but now their wrath is awful. More than any of us, they wanted fame. They worked, they pushed. The morning after each of them became famous, they wanted to take an overdose because that giant thing they were striving for, that fame thing that was going to make everything okay, that was going to make their life bearable, was going to provide them with personal fulfillment and happiness, had happened and nothing changed. They were still them. Those are good words. They remind us that our identity ought to be built on Jesus. Jesus said, if you have me, I'll actually fulfill you. And if you fail me, I'll always forgive you. I'm the only one that'll do that for you. So in baptism, we identify with Jesus Christ. We're now building our identity on a whole different foundation than what it used to be. Here's the second thing about baptism that I noted. And you could say a lot, but I just wanted to leave you three today. Baptism, it's the very first step in following Jesus. The very first step in following Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, come and follow me. And the first step in following Jesus is baptism. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, these words that have become known as the Great Commission. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know, those words are where we get our vision from as Crossroads Church. If you've been around here long, you know, we kind of phrase it this way, that we want to give everyone in Central Alberta an opportunity to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then by following him together, impact our world compassionately with hope. And you know, that's we run everything through that lens here at Crossroads. And we get it from here because Jesus said, and basically this is a command. He said, go and make disciples and baptize them. And he said, teach them, make disciples, baptize them. So baptism would be the first step. And you know the command there? It's clearly all who believe are to be baptized. So it's not an option. You'd have to say it's an obligation. In the New Testament, believers, when they put their trust in Christ, they were baptized. You can't find any exceptions to that, except, of course, the thief on the cross. That's the only one. An unbaptized believer in the New Testament would be an oxymoron. Really would. You say, yeah, but the thief on the cross. Well, if you're on a cross and it's your last breath, okay. But I'll tell you this about him. He publicly declared his faith in Christ. He wasn't ashamed to do that, even with his friend mocking him. To all the people, he publicly, he did everything he could. He publicly declared his faith in Christ. He identified, even before he took his last breath, with the person of Jesus. An unbaptized believer is an oxymoron. It's actually the first step of discipleship, followership. And a lot of people, they give their life to Christ and they wonder why they have no power. They wonder why, you know, things aren't coming together. Well, often it goes right back to the fact they've never been obedient to the very first thing Jesus asked them to do. And so I would challenge you, if you're a person that says, I trust Christ, you ought to get baptized. There's a little girl in the tank in the first service. And it was worth the price of admission to watch Jordan Kavanaugh baptize people. He brought so much life to it. And he shared that when they interviewed her, he said to her, why do you want to be baptized? And she looked at him like he was crazy. And she said, why wouldn't I? That's a great response. Like, why wouldn't you want to be baptized? If Jesus is Lord, then obey him. If he's your Savior, then do it because of what he's done for you. That's the logic of this thing. And so baptism is the very first step in following Jesus. It's publicly identifying with Jesus. Let me give you a third one here. Baptism reminds us of three gifts that assure us of a right relationship with God. Or maybe I could put it this way. At baptism, we receive three gifts that assure us of a right relationship with God. You saw them there, didn't you? Well, the first one, what was it? An opened heaven. An opened heaven. That's the first great gift. Heaven is open. You have a Father. You can call on him and he knows you by name. Before you knew Jesus, you could pray all you want, but there was no way to God. But when you realize that Jesus died for your sin and you put your trust in him, it's like heaven was opened. And you can call God who sits on the throne at the center of the universe, Father. And they know you because your name is actually written down there. Don't be afraid of dying and going to heaven. You know why? Everybody knows your name there. It's better than cheers. Everybody knows your name in heaven. It's open. Here's the thing. If you read Psalm 116, it works this way. I love the Lord because he heard my cry for mercy. Because he heard my cry for mercy, I will call on him as long as I live. He heard me once. Why wouldn't he hear me for the rest of my life? It's beautiful to know that there's an open heaven where you can call God Father and you matter to him more than all of his creation. You matter to him. That's the second gift. Well, of course, it's the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, the Holy Spirit came, and when you read baptism in the New Testament, it's very clear that when people were baptized, they were filled with the Spirit. I mean, how could it be otherwise? If this is the first step forward in following Jesus, and you're going to have to learn to walk in the way of the Lord, you're going to need power to do that. You can't do it on your own. I mean, read the beautiful Sermon on the Mount and all the things that Jesus says we're to do and the way we're to live, and then try and live it on your own. You won't get 5 minutes down the road before you mess up. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to live the life that Jesus Christ puts in us. And so that gift of the Holy Spirit was given at baptism. And why? Someone says, why? Hey, wait a minute. I thought we got the Holy Spirit when we were saved. Well, when they were saved, they got baptized. So I guess. That makes sense to you? But get this. You can start every single day now as a believer in Jesus saying, Father, I can't do this. I know my old nature, my old temptations. But you've promised your incomparably great power for me because I'm in Christ and I ask for your help today. You know, when I was as a kid, grew up in a church, and our three fears were women, leadership, and the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what order. And other than that, great place. And well, they feared women. I was in love with Teresa Lamont, but she didn't know who I was. But that's a whole different story. That's for another day. But I remember in grade 12, going to a conference, and this guy talked about the Holy Spirit. I'd never heard his name before. I was 18 years old, grew up in a church. If I heard it, I don't remember it. And he said, would you like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Bang, I said, I'm in. And he asked us to stand. He prayed for us, and I knew something had turned around on the inside, changed. And I was walking through the halls of Centennial High School in Coquitlam for a month thinking, this is the best thing that's ever happened. And I'd go to church on Sunday and I'd look around the foyer. I think, does anybody else know about this Holy Spirit? This is amazing. You guys should hear about him. Yeah, that's what it's like when God fills you with his Spirit. There's a new sense of victory at outstanding points of defeat. There's this ability to read the Bible, and it's like you're being personally addressed, called by name. And it's like there's a joy and a peace that I didn't have before. Don't under-expect for these people today. God has so many great gifts for people when they're baptized. He can do more than we ask or imagine. I pray, and we're going to pray, that God today would fill them with his Holy Spirit, that they would walk out of here with a joy and a peace. And then the third gift, actually, so there's open heaven, Holy Spirit, and then there's the voice from heaven. There's affirmation. You're my beloved son. When people are baptized, we ought to hear the Father saying, you're mine, you're mine, you belong to me. I'll never, ever leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I know you by name. There's no condemnation for you because you're in my son, Jesus. So we're going to pray, when we pray for them, that in some way today, in a way that they hear and understand, God would speak to their minds and their hearts and tell them, you're my child, and I'm pleased with you today as you follow my son, Jesus. It's not just a matter of putting people in water and bringing them back up. There are great expectations going into today that these people that the Lord sees as the apple of his eye would experience his voice and his spirit and know when they pray that they're being heard, because in heaven they're known by name. And it's a beautiful thing to baptize people. It's a beautiful picture. You put people down in water, you'll see them go down and come back up. It's like, that's identifying with Jesus. We're identifying with the Jesus that died and was buried, but was raised from the dead. But it's such a beautiful picture too, because it's a picture of, well, I'm dying to the old life and I'm leaving that behind. And I'm coming up to live as a new person, a follower of Jesus. So this is just a great day when we get to baptize people. Let me just ask you a couple questions and then we'll get on with it. One question would be this. Have you ever received eternal life from Jesus? Have you ever turned around and begun to follow Jesus? You say, well, I'm a pretty bad guy. Yep, join the club. It's not about us, though. It's about him. It's not about whether I'm good enough. It's all about whether Jesus was good enough. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he said he was going to do it to pay for the sins that we've committed. How would we ever know if he did or he didn't, or if God accepted it for that matter? Only by the fact that 3 days later, God raised Jesus from the dead and gave proof to everybody that he did what he said he would do. And today, you could know your sins forgiven, you could have a clean heart and God's spirit in you simply by stopping in your tracks and turning around and trusting Jesus Christ and following him like the rest of us. If you would like eternal life today, I'm going to make this offer to you. The end of the service, there'll be people up here and you'll identify them because they'll have lanyards on, and you could go up to them and say, you know what? I would like to know Jesus Christ personally, and they would introduce you to him. And then we'd baptize you tonight so that you could join the rest of us in being unashamed followers of Jesus Christ. So don't forget to do that if you would like that. Second question, maybe you've been baptized, but you kind of got a long way away from following Jesus. And you think, my goodness, I should get rebaptized. Nope. What you should do is come back to your baptismal commitment and to Jesus Christ. Just come back to him. He'll receive you back graciously. He'll take you back. You say, well, I don't know if he would take me back. Yeah, he would. He invites you actually to come. You know, if you sit here every week, he invites you every week through the ministry of his word to come back to him. If you come here in the first Sunday of the month and we celebrate with the bread and the cup at the Lord's table, it's an open invitation every month to come back. You're welcome to come back, but come back with your whole heart. He'll receive you. You say, well, so many years wasted. Yep, but he can restore those years. That's the amazing thing about him. He can restore the years the locusts have eaten. All of us today, when we witness baptism, should be reminded of our first love, that first commitment to Christ. And if we need to come back, why then we come back. So let me just leave that with you, because I need you to understand what's happening here today. And I'm gonna invite the people being baptized. Why don't you come on up here and join me? And we'll pray for them. And if you're baptizing them, come on up. And the rest of you, just why don't you welcome them up here and make them feel at home. Rob, is this all your family? No, hey, listen, I want to say we are so excited for all of you here today. This is one of the best days of your whole life. And, you know, you're going to be baptized. And, you know, as I was praying for you this morning, it's like the Lord gave me this picture of the Lord smiling ear to ear, so excited about what you're doing. And we're excited for you. You know, and it's like whoever Jesus accepts, we accept. Your family here. And so we're going to celebrate with all of our hearts when you get baptized today. I'd like to pray for you. And then after I pray for you, I think you're going to exit that way, I believe. And Rob can figure out the back. And if you don't come out here, we'll keep praying for you. But we know you will. Why don't you stand with us and let's stretch out our hands. Let's pray for them today. Father in heaven, we thank you for these people that are being obedient to follow you in baptism. And I know your heart, Father, today is just filled with joy as you look at each one of them. Father, today as they're baptized, we pray that you would fill them afresh with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd speak to each one in a way they understand and tell them how much they mean to you. And Father, we pray today as your people that you would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation so they might know you better. We pray that you would open the eyes of their heart, their understanding, that they'd get a better understanding of the hope to which you've called them to. Father, that through your spirit, they would know your incomparably great power in their lives this day and this week. That they would know that that power is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And so, Lord, we commit them to you. Would you spread your favor and protection over them? Because the enemy would like to discourage them and cause them to think nothing's changed. I pray that you would not let the enemy do that. And so we pray for them, Father, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.